Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh no!
I'm on the radio.
You ready? Are you?
No.
Oh.
That's my radio voice. Yeah, just saying I'm on the radio.
Yeah. I think we have to overcorrect the mics for who has beards and not.
Yeah.
Bruce has a baby face. You can hold the mic close. Bearded Justin, hold it far away. Welcome to Foster the Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Foster. Co-host, Christy Marie.
Hi.
Sound, Sultan of Sound. Ivan.
Sultan of Sound.
Yeah.
I kind of dig it.
I really like it.
Yep. Our guest today is Bruce Gray.
Hey, everybody.
So with the beautiful radio voice.
Dude, yeah.
Dude, thanks for coming over.
No problem, man. This is a cool place. I like this.
It's not too early for you?
No. I mean, what is it, 12:40?
It's noon on a Tuesday.
You know what? I thought I had a phone interview this morning.
Uh-huh.
So it was supposed to be sometime between 8 and 10.
Uh-huh.
So I woke up at 8, and my house has terrible service.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to, this church by my house. So I sat in the parking lot for 2 hours just to realize that the interview was tomorrow. So I woke up at 8 a.m. I got home at, 4 a.m. last night.
First time you've been to church in 10
years.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it was. I just sat there for 2 hours. There's a bunch of kids playing. It's like a daycare. I was like, they're gonna come out here and think I'm just
someone's definitely calling the authorities.
So I'm like passing out and coming back to. They think I'm doing heroin in their daycare parking lot.
And this is L.A. too, so they probably wouldn't even call anybody.
No, not at all.
That's so sad.
I wish you would come on Sundays. Man, no, it was brutal.
But, and you dropped your phone in water. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Even if the phone interview was today, you're fucked.
Yeah, yeah. I was brushing my teeth to come over here, and I dropped my phone in water.
Oh no!
And then it was working fine, and then I was on the freeway on the way over here, and it started not working. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna miss the podcast and look like a total piece of shit.
Miss everything.
Yeah, just no call, no show.
And the shitty thing too is that's a good excuse.
Yeah.
If you're
hey
Justin, I'm sorry I missed the podcast. My phone was dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I get it. I understand.
My phone just broke. I had to pull over and somehow go into Facebook without Messenger and then pull up the address again.
Oh, go into Safari?
On the internet. And I had to ask, and it wouldn't let me pull up the address, so I had to put it on the voice. So I was like, take me to just gave out your street name on this podcast.
That's all right. Oh yeah, we'll bleep that out.
All the Foster fans are gonna be up and down the street.
Damn. We had a guest give out his phone number on the air one time and he thought it was hilarious. Like, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Never. Yes. I just keep telling people that we record in Pasadena so they can try to find us out there.
We're at the very tip top of the Foster the Podcast studio.
Yeah. Find us in Bakersfield.
In beautiful Bakersfield, California.
That's where you're from though, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That's so funny to me. You don't seem like a Bakersfield dude.
I know. It's funny because I never realized how white trash I was until I moved here. And it's like people talk about where they grew up with parents and we grew up with good parents and they didn't make us, we were poor, but we didn't realize we were poor.
Uh-huh.
But with me, it was like, I never realized I was white trash, but we totally.
Really?
Were, yeah, complete trash.
You get here and you're like, no, doesn't everybody eat Spam?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. I guess my parents were good at hiding it.
Right.
Even though I should have realized my dad was a bull rider. When
oh
was
yeah, that's super white trash.
I don't know. And my grandparents, I start telling these stories about my grandparents. My grandma shot my grandpa one time in the 70s
because
she was fooling around on him, and he didn't even call the cops.
She was fooling around on him.
No, he was fooling around on her. Right. So she shot him, and they didn't even call the cops. And they were married for 40 more years.
I deserve that.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I probably deserve that.
Pretty even though. Yeah. I say after.
That's hilarious. Piecing it together.
Yeah, and
wait a minute.
Yeah.
You look down at yourself, cut to the scene where you're in an Olive Garden with a tank top. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I do that too. And I repress these white trash memories and all this stuff. All this stuff just comes back to me randomly of my Uncle Robbie would just come in and out of our life because he was in jail.
He
would I saw him climb up a phone pole and plug in a wire one time. And then we got we got 100 channels. This is 1998. This is
Robbie just traveled a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
He's a traveler. He played the guitar and
on the porch.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. Dude, that's
hilarious.
Yeah. I just repressed all this white trash stuff
in closet white trash.
Yeah, now it's all coming out. I don't know.
On your therapist's couch one day.
Dude,
wait a minute.
Yeah. Wait.
I love Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Meatballs are delicious.
Dude,
shit.
Yeah.
That's funny. Like, your dad was a professional bull rider?
Yeah. Dude,
did he wear a cowboy hat?
Yeah. He
is that? Can I ask you a question? Is that a law?
Wearing a cowboy hat if you're a bull rider?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Somebody told me that there's a law that you either have to wear a helmet or a cowboy hat.
You probably can't because, I mean.
Those are your choices?
Yeah.
One doesn't replace the other.
Right. Yeah, I know.
My shout out to DJ Dangler, who's been on the show before. He has one of my favorite bits of all time where he goes, you can either be safe or look awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there's like some crazy, I'll pull it up in a minute, a picture of my dad. His nickname was Buddy. Uh-huh. So there's a picture of him when he's like 19 at this rodeo where there's like all these like people. The people in the background is the funniest part because it's all these like 80s cowboys.
Right, just Dallas Buyers Club like, in the background.
Yeah, he's like 5 feet off of the air in a bull and his chaps are like perfectly out where it says Buddy. It's like he's a swaggy a swaggy cowboy. Dude, it's so cool. It's hilarious. But then my cousin is pretty good. He's doing that now and like traveling everywhere, but he wears a helmet.
He wears a helmet, yeah. Right? Yeah. How would you not?
I think you might have to wear. It might be a rule now that you have to wear a helmet.
Like condoms and porn.
Yeah. I think the pro guys wear hats though, because look, I mean, the hat, you do like definitely look way cooler with the hat on than that.
Yeah, but you look. You know what's really uncool? Being in a fucking vegetable.
Oh yeah. Well, my cousin that's done it now. He like broke his jaw. Like
really
got like stepped on in the head. And my dad like has like a bunch of fake teeth because he got like. Kicked in the face. Yeah, it's crazy.
He got shot because he was cheating on your mom.
Yeah, exactly. Dude.
He's got a lot of bullet holes in him.
Yeah, it's just so much.
Wow.
It seems like it would be simple enough to make a cowboy hat that has a built-in helmet.
Like they're trying to do with those baseball hats now. Have you seen that?
No.
Because like, pitchers are getting hit with the baseball, so they're giving them like these hats that have helmets in them, but it looks like it's the size of like a cheese head.
Right.
But it's like a baseball hat.
Yeah.
It just looks hilarious.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's not a good look.
But big cowboy hats are so big anyways. You could totally throw some helmet gear in there.
Do something.
You should patent that.
Yeah.
Make sure you edit this out.
That's great.
Edit this part out so we can all get
There's just like dead air right here. Cut to next episode when we're all millionaires.
Yeah.
We actually are in Pasadena.
Yeah. At the Act of Foster the Podcast studio. We're actually in the old Capitol Records building. It's not a Foster the Podcast building.
So, Bruce, you're a great comedian. I'm a big fan of you.
Oh, thank you, man.
Is your dad a fan? Is he mad that you didn't go to the bowl? You didn't wear the chaps?
No, no lie. This is true that my dad over Christmas dinner with my entire family around, looked me in the eye and said, Bruce, you would make a great rodeo clown.
Oh, wow.
Like, no joke to it at all. And I know.
Jesus.
But, like, now he gets it now. Like, he knows that I'm funny now because, I mean, I've been doing it for 5 years or so.
Right.
But whenever I first started, it was like he wasn't into it at all.
Yeah.
And like, especially if I was talking about him.
Right.
Like, and if I stretched the truth in any way, he'd be like, man, you can't.
That's not true.
You can't do that. Like, he'd get like mad about it.
I know. It's so funny when you're like, do you ever do this thing where like, I don't know if you do this. Well, your family doesn't live here, but like, I'll have to like, if I'm going into town and I know I have to like prep them, like, be at dinner before I'm like, so you come to the show tonight, right? Okay, so I got this new thing, and I know like you have to like tell them the backstory. Yeah. Oh, it's based on this, but you know, because in the audience, you could see him looking like, oh, who would? That's not true.
Yeah,
that's not how.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Went.
My mom's so out of it; she thinks comedy club is like a book club where like we all gather around and just tell. She thinks it's a club, like a meeting of people.
It kind of is.
Is your mom also Russian?
Nah. Well,
that's how it works, dude.
Well, that's a question. Maybe I thought your dad was just like a Russian guy and your mom not.
Yeah, no. We were all born in Russia.
Okay.
I'm like 1/16th Ukrainian, but I don't like to talk about it.
Okay. We'll edit that part out also.
Edit that part out.
In Russia, punchlines tell you. Yeah. Do you? So have you got home and performed Bakersfield?
Yeah, well, but that's where I started. So I did, because when I started there was like, because I mean it's a surprisingly big town. There's like 400,000 people.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot. It's and there's like the metropolitan area has like a million.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of people. So you can like now there's some good comedy shows out there. But when I started, there was like six comedians that like there was no like scene. So me and another guy kind of just like put together like actual comedy open mics, and now there's two comedy open mics there a week that we started, and like probably like 30 comics.
Hot damn, we have the great king of Bakersfield comedy on the podcast?
Exactly.
Holy shit.
No, it's It's hilarious because I go there and I get treated. I'm just like I'm dog shit. You guys don't understand.
Right? Yeah. But you never tell.
Yeah.
Them
and it's like these comics are like 3 months in and they're like, oh my god, dude, I've heard so much about how you started the comedy here. I'm like,
I heard you invented comedy.
Yeah, exactly. but it's crazy because the shows that I used to run a show there. At a room that was like a 110 seat room.
Stop.
And we would it was like a great like sports bar. It had like a sweet little like banquet area. So it was like almost like a club and like the seating and it had waitresses and stuff.
Really?
And we would do like a monthly show for like almost 2 years. It was sold out like
every month.
14 of 15 times.
Really?
With like people from down here, like it was great. And we would do
Dude, that's awesome. Can you imagine starting like here? That?
Yeah. Awesome. Oh no, dude, exactly. I used to whenever I was doing comedy there, I would get up like 4 or 5 times a week somewhere in like Central California. Mm-hmm. And it would always be like 15 plus minutes per time, basically.
Yeah, I know.
And now it's like in front of real people. And now it's just like brutal. But
yeah,
I mean, now I've been here like a year, a little bit over a year now. So I feel like I'm finally like used to not getting, I guess, a lot of stage time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we've talked about this show before about it's like, if you come to LA as a comedian to do less comedy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like if you wanted to be just a comedian and just do comedy, don't come to LA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's so much. You could go to like I got more stage time in Omaha, Nebraska than I've gotten out here. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But you got to come up here and you got to do that deal if you want to like go a little bit further. I guess you don't have to. You can go to New York or whatever. But it sucks because there'll be some days I'm like, I've gone up 5 minutes this week.
Yeah.
You know, it's like why? And I've stuck.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, I mean, I've gone up 10 times this week and it was for a total of 35 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or that's the opposite. Yeah. Or you go up a bunch and no one gives a shit or no one sees you.
I noticed that a little. I have a lot of my friends, I've like done comedy a lot in other places like Salt Lake or where they're like there or Atlanta and they're like the guy at the club there. So they're getting at least 2 spots a weekend in front of 300 people. And then they come out here and I can see it in people's faces now, the adjustment period of like, they just you get bitter about it really fast and then you come around to realizing like this is how it is.
Yep. And wouldn't you say that's with everything, not just comedy, like the first year in Los Angeles, it's like it's like a bull. You got to hang on.
Yeah.
I'm just going to make bull riding references this whole podcast, by the way. You just got to hang on for 7 years.
Eight years, not 8 seconds.
Yeah.
But it's just as a person when you come to like LA, like however like smart or funny or attractive you were somewhere else, like no one gives a shit here.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're not as hot as you thought you were. You're not as smart. You're not as funny, you're not as interesting or worldly, like whatever your thing was,
right?
Not anymore.
Get rid of it.
You are average as hell. That should, when you hit LA.
Yes. That should be the sign, like when you're coming in. Welcome to Los Angeles. You are average as hell. No one gives a shit. Yeah.
My mom lives out in Santa Clarita, and we went to go pick up food from a restaurant, like takeout food from a restaurant. And so, like, I drove out there, and I got out of the car, and I went in, and like all these guys at the bar turned around and looked at me, and I was like, "What's going on?" It's like, oh, I'm in the suburbs. People think I'm hot again. This is awesome.
Is that Halle Berry?
Everybody, LA is made up of like the most, like not most important, like the coolest person from every, like the coolest person from every high school
from every
comes
town,
here
yeah.
and then realizes that they're average again. Right. It's hilarious.
Absolutely.
LA is very humbling. It sucks though because like, I think it was Mark Agee said it. He was like, you have the most people, beautiful people from all over the world that have been coming to LA for centuries in breeding.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just full of beautiful people. Right. So whatever you're thinking you look like in Omaha,
Omaha,
but then you come here and you come here and it's just like, you're just one of many.
Yeah.
I think you're going to go to Omaha and they're going to be out there like with signs.
We actually have fans in Omaha and I love them very much. And I'm not shitting on Omaha, but it's one of those
things. Literally anywhere.
Anywhere.
No matter where you're from, come here and you're average.
We've talked to beautiful dudes that have like come out here like I was booking everything in my town and then I got here and I'm just a sea of beautiful dudes.
Yeah.
I had a guy, one of our friends who's extremely good looking. He's like, Justin, he goes, you would book more stuff because no one has you.
Yeah.
Right? They have 1,000 me.
It's got to be the worst. Probably being a really good looking dude and going to an audition where there's 50 other dudes who are just as beautiful as you.
And just a little bit beautifuler.
Yeah, especially girls too. That probably drives some girls crazy.
Dude.
Where they go to there and it's 50 equally hot girls.
Right.
Like I would rather go see, I mean, if I go in and I see 50 other schlubby dudes, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know where I stand.
You guys
want to
go eat after this?
Yeah, I know where I stand. I'm fine.
Yeah. That's hilarious. That's great. You did the actress thing for a little while, didn't you? Did you go on auditions?
Yes.
Is it just the worst?
I mean, I didn't mind it. It was whatever.
I don't think I could do it.
It is a room of people who look like you.
I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, just having someone, just, I would have such a resentment against the person in the chair that's going, nah. Or, you know what I mean? I would go in my car for like 2 days. I would be like, I hate this person.
Yeah.
He's just doing his job.
Right.
He's just doing his job. Right. But I would have so much like residual anger towards this person. It's just like, next. Or like, I've had friends that have gone on auditions before and like, they're like, they don't pay attention or they're texting dance that a guy fell asleep during one of his, like, I would lose my shit.
Yeah.
Fell asleep.
Yeah.
Was snoring. Interrupted his audition with snoring.
Yeah.
Man.
I couldn't.
Yeah, it's rough.
No, I did background work like twice in my life. I was like, I don't think.
Yeah,
I don't think
background work is. You're whenever you're doing background acting, you're literally cattle.
Yeah, like, 100%.
You're absolute cattle.
Yep.
They leave you in rooms for hours on end with no food or water. Like, just no one cares.
Yes.
Me and another Isaac Hirsch. Do you know who Isaac Hirsch is? He's just like a generic, like his face is like just a generic like nerd face. He's a hilarious comic. Me and him background acting especially is so like demeaning because me and him both got casted for awkward kid on school bus, and so we just got on the bus and off the bus all day long.
Oh no! Just be you guys. Yeah, just be awkward.
Yeah, just be like in. We went in there that day and they changed a bunch of stuff on me, and then Isaac. Isaac went up to wardrobe and they're like, "Nah, you're fine. Keep going. It's the worst. They don't care about you at all." Like,
yeah. I don't know. I couldn't do it. So they're cool with you doing comedy, not doing the bull riding thing.
Yeah, I mean, Dad, especially my mom this weekend saw a thing where they were hiring firefighters. She's like, "You know, you'd be a great firefighter." Well,
firefighter,
and she just like drops these little hints at me, and I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna."
I just look at the difference between your family, like your mom's firefighter, your dad's a rodeo clown.
Yeah,
like, thanks, guys.
Exactly. It's insane.
Oh my gosh. There was something else I wanted to ask you too. You sent me a whole the baseball thing because we were talking about baseball earlier.
I was a bat boy for a professional baseball or minor league baseball team for like 4 years.
That's so awesome.
It was great. Yeah, and it's in Bakersfield. And it's the Bakersfield Blaze. They actually
BLAZE.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the team they just moved after like 80 years in Bakersfield because. The stadium, like, there was this whole big thing where they were supposed to get a new stadium and it ended up not happening. And the stadium was so old and just such a piece of shit. And it was in a terrible part of town, which is like Oildale, which is world famous for being like Bakersfield is considered like the meth capital.
Yeah, people make a lot of jokes about that.
Yeah.
And Oildale is like the spot for meth. Like,
okay.
It's like white trash heaven or hell. I really don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes it's
like this place, it was the ballpark was so bad that they would. After the game, let like a group 10 to 15 just like homeless tweakers into the park to pick up bottles and cans as long as they picked up trash also.
Oh, really?
So just like for getting free work from all these homeless people. And like it was just in a crazy part of town. And it was all these dudes would come and it was like people that are like high level players in the pros now would be coming there like for the other team and for our team too and be like, I can't believe this. And it's like,
oh, that's right. People from out of town have to come and
see
this.
Because it's all the way it works. The team that I worked for was owned by the Reds. Mm-hmm. So all the players are drafted by the Reds. So they're all there from everywhere around the world. Like nobody there is there from Bakersfield.
Right.
And it's everybody. It's like first round guys and also like dudes who are maybe getting paid like $500 a week at the most. And so there's dudes that are making $800 every 2 weeks and dudes who are making like almost $200,000 every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it's everybody.
So they're all mixed.
Yeah, they're all just mixed into this one thing. Minor league baseball is insane. Like it's such a – because it's nobody really cares about winning. Everybody is just caring about individually looking good and getting better and getting noticed and getting to the next level.
Getting moved on to the majors. Right. So there's not really a team. Everyone's out for themselves.
Yeah, but everybody's friendly, but everybody is like all in for themselves because it's like – I think it's like 7% of baseball players who get drafted end up going to the pros. Mm. And so it's like thousands and thousands of dudes who are just
it's like the open mic of
it's literally
baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Except you're getting paid. It's insane.
Except you're getting paid. Yeah. You don't have to buy one item.
No.
And the farm teams are always in places like that. Like just in towns where that's just
minor
all
league
there
baseball
is.
It's an insane culture. And like there's of course just the insane, cause the team is like, was basically starting to dwindle out when I worked there. So the stadium would see like 5,000 people and they would be lucky to get like 300 people at a game.
Really?
But yeah, but there's
you were pulling more people for your comedy show than the baseball team was.
There's a there's like a group of boosters, and they're like the just a group of. I'm going to laugh so hard if they hear this, and they're going to also be so mad and disappointed because I was always so nice to them. But it's just a group of, like, Hills Have Eyes people, like these hill people that come down for the baseball team, and, like, they adopt players, basically, and, like, they some of the players that are, like, more broke stay at like, host family houses and stuff.
Oh, really?
And, like, with some of these, like, crazy people, and they just come back, and they're just, like, talking about how much they hate these people.
Just broken.
Yeah. Literally, there was a thing. They made me, because I was, as a bat boy, you just, like, sit on the field and, like, you're basically, like, a team mom without any respect.
Right.
Like, you are just, like, an assistant, and you just do whatever they tell you.
Sure.
And so there was one thing where there was a bunch of kids there for, like, it was a afternoon game, so, like, there was, like, 1,000 kids there, and so some of the players were supposed to go out to a table and sign autographs, but none of them wanted to do that, so they sent, like, 2 players who had just got there and me to this table as a player dressed up and, like, to sign autographs.
Did you have somebody else's uniform on?
No, I had a uniform and, like, all this stuff on and, like, glasses, so I looked like a legit baseball player.
Glasses?
That day, I...
What are you, Clark Kent? Yeah. That'll fool. Yeah.
We'll never know.
I went into the locker room and I was like, hey, does anybody... They want, like, 3 people out here to sign autographs for some of these kids. And somebody from the back of the locker room said, fuck the kids. I was like, this is exactly like
shout out to the Bakerfield plays.
Yeah, exactly. They're a dead team now. If you want something really funny, you could follow the Bakerfield Blaze on Twitter. And the dude who has always run the Twitter is hilarious. And he still will tweet out. He'll be like, hey, anybody want season tickets for next season? ? And they'll be like, all caps, like, well, that's too goddamn bad. And it's like, has gone completely rogue. And it's so funny. Just trashes all these other. It's great, dude.
But children, though, who says no to sign it on for children?
It was hilarious. Like, they don't care. It was so fun. Everybody there was pretty much angry at being in Bakerfield.
Right. Yeah. Could you imagine being a dude coming in from New York thinking that you're going to, and you've got to stay at Cletus's barn?
Yeah,
but
exactly.
The whole thing's brutal when you travel when you're in those.
Because it's all, they don't, in minor league, you don't fly at all.
It's all buses.
All bus.
Yeah.
And so the league that we were, I worked in was California League. So, I mean, they would go as north as, I think the farthest north would be San Jose, but then also, like, down to basically Riverside, like, and you just always on the bus.
Ooh, and it's and hot, the, and it's the desert.
And on the East Coast, the minor league teams over there will have to travel, like, 12 hours. Like, it's insane.
Oh, yeah, if they're on the East Coast.
You get killed.
So it's just the worst. It's a bad schedule. You're staying in bad hotels. You're on a bad bus in a bad city.
Yeah. It's like a... And they play 140 games and like they throughout the whole season they probably get like 6 days off.
Really?
It's insane. It's it's grueling.
I like minor league baseball makes comedy not seem so bad.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Makes it seem all right.
Yeah, you get paid.
Wow. I do like the idea that there's some kid out there with like your autograph like hung up.
Oh no, I signed a lot of autographs.
Did you really?
On the because I mean I would be wearing a uniform that had and because usually they would say like BB on the back for Bat Boy, but the team was so broke that I just wore a normal uniform with a number. So I would have the same number as like I would be number 32, and so would this guy Chris Richburg, who's also on the team. So people, I had a guy come up to me, he's like, "Hey man, I got your ball yesterday from the walk-off homer." And it's like this dude, and the behind the stadium is like the river bed where these just people,
where the tweakers live.
These guys
just clean up.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, "I got your ball from the. I got your ball."
You didn't catch it. It just kind of rolled out.
There's just a fence with trees and the river.
Right.
And he just went out there for the ball. And he's like, "Sure." And he's like calling me Richburg and stuff, and like talking to me about playing at Texas A&M and like all this stuff. And I signed his ball. And he comes back like at the end of the game. He's like, "Hey, motherfucker, you ain't Chris Richburg, like, dude." People. It's like people, the crowd at minor league baseball games loves to berate the Bat Boys.
Right.
And it's insane.
That's such a shitty mindset, too.
And some people are hilarious. Uh-huh. Like, that's like what I always say is that there's people on the internet and other places that are funnier than any comedian ever.
Yeah.
And that's how people yelling at the, like, heckling the game, basically, at a minor league game in an empty stadium. Like, some of the nights, there would be, like, 120 people in a 5,000-seat stadium.
Right.
So no matter what this guy says all the way down the line, everybody in the stands and everybody on the field is going to hear.
Right.
It.
We all, yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, wow. That's
so awesome. Whenever I worked there for three of the 4 years that I worked there, I think the head coach was Ken Griffey Sr. So it's Ken Griffey Jr.'s dad.
Right.
And so, and he was hilarious. So like I had to, we played fantasy football together and I was like, would always give him fantasy football tips and have to like change around his team.
Oh, wow.
Because he was like, I don't give a shit about this. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, a bunch of dudes. I mean, the, all the coaches were like ex MLB players and like him and the guy Eli Marrero. It's just a crazy overall culture, especially like small town minor league baseball. It's just
my
insane.
Dad played baseball and when he was done he coached minor league for a couple years before he went back up to the majors, and 1 year we ended up in Yakima, Washington. And that was the one place I remember from like minor leagues of being like, where are we
now? Yeah, right.
what is happening? There's like, it's a weird, weird culture.
But it's good now you're doing comedy. If you get heckled, you're like, yeah, I've heard worse.
Yeah, oh yeah. Because it's literally you're in a fishbowl. Like, because some of the games would be like sold out if there's like 4th of July and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So like I'm running back and forth all night in front of these people and they're just like,
just yelling shit at you?
That's so fucked up.
Because how old were you?
Probably like, it was whenever I was like 16.
So you're a kid.
Yeah.
So they're just yelling at a kid.
Yeah. No, totally.
That's
exactly.
So fucked up.
It's like a exact. And
And fuck the children.
No, exactly. You would be pissed. Because, and then the big thing too is that everybody wants a foul ball. Like everybody goes crazy over it. And like if the boss people are around, you can't give out a bunch. So I'd always be like, oh, sorry, I can't. And that would just drive people even crazier.
Oh, wow.
Because then I had a, I do a bit about this, but a guy one time was mad because I couldn't give him the ball. And I'm like a fat 16-year-old kid among like 6'5" Dominican professional baseball players everywhere.
Right.
And this guy's in the crowd and he's like, yo, fuck you, bad boy, all this shit. And he's leaving. He's like, yo, bad boy, you're a bitch. That's why they never put you in the game. And I was like, I'm not on the team. Like, this isn't.
I wasn't up for it.
Yeah, this isn't a fucking Disney movie. Like, I'm not gonna. There's no chance of this happening right now.
Like, it you're the squire.
Yeah, everybody, like.
It's that Air Bud.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I'm like, working for both teams, so at that time I'm over with like the visiting players and this guy's like, that's why they never put you in the game. And like everybody looks at me and they're like, what the fuck is he talking like, does he think that you're on the team
that you got cut but they just go, hey, well, we're gonna give you a job anyways because we like you,
dude. But it was fun because I mean it's like at the same time you're like a team bitch, but also whenever you're like with the home team, because I played baseball forever, so they knew that, and they would come down and basically like talking about like this pitcher, because I'm like the closest one to him the entire game. They're like, oh, what's he throwing? How's this moving? Do you know what he's throwing last to him? Like,
oh wow,
all this stuff. So it's fun. It's almost like being a caddy at the same time.
Sure, yeah.
Like,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
What was it like going to high school in Bakersfield or going to school growing
up? Dude, it was because whenever, till I was in fifth grade, because my dad worked in oil. For like kind of still does for like forever.
So wait, your dad worked in oil and rode bulls?
Well, he rode bulls till he was like 23 or 24.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was like, then he had a family.
You just realized that you came from white trash.
No, that's cool. Well, yeah, you're from Texas too. Is your family in oil?
Yeah, no, but I know people like that.
Yeah. No, like my whole family. Well, Bakersfield, it's like 70% of the jobs are in energy.
Uh-huh.
So he was in oil forever. So he just like grinded out doing like hard work for like 25 years.
Right.
And so we lived in like his dad's old house out in like the country, basically. So it was a lot of like farms around.
Sure.
So the school I went to fifth grade, I was white people were the minority. So that's how I grew up, like with a bunch of like Mexican and black people.
Gotcha.
And so like my mom taught like migrant classes at the school. So it would be like farm worker kids. It would be like fast class because they're going to be going back to either Mexico or wherever in like 4 months. So that was till I was in like fifth grade. And then we moved over to like the nicer, like Rosedale, it's called.
Okay.
It's like because we were in Greenfield,
okay,
which is where all the farms are, obviously. And then Rosedale, it's like more of like a like upper middle class area. So then where I went to high school, it was just crazy rich kids.
Oh, okay.
Like rich kids.
All
right. Like we were middle class, and then like for like 3 years, right before oil crashed completely, we were making great.
You were doing good, right?
Yeah. When I was like 19 till I was like, no, probably like 18 to like 21, they were doing like great. And then now oil's gone forever, basically.
Dude, that's brutal.
Yeah.
So you got like a nice little taste.
Oh, yeah. It was great. Yeah. We were like,
Thank you very much.
It was awesome.
That back,
yeah, totally. Like yeah. My family totally had like a peek into like what it would be like to be rich for like 3 years, and
oh,
now it's
no.
right back to the poorhouse.
No, but they're like repossessing your mopeds.
No, exactly.
Shit.
No, yeah. No, it's funny as when it because oil is like because my dad he was a consultant for Chevron for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh,
so
cool.
Money was great, and then oil's crashed completely. So he's like doing like water well stuff with one of his friends.
Right.
But we had two of like the big trash roller trash cans you put on the street.
Yeah.
But they're owned by the city. All the trash cans are. Uh-huh. And so then I guess my parents didn't pay for one of the trash cans, and so they came and took one of the trash cans. And I was like, this is where it starts.
No.
They took the trash can. Yeah. So, well, it was so funny because my mom was like,
"All right, Mr. Clampett,
yeah.
You taking that back?"
Yeah. It's so funny.
Oh
man.
No.
But where I went to high school, I went with so many just crazy rich kids, like
okay.
kids whose parents, a lot of like really cool people like I'm still really good friends with that are like super down to earth, but also people that have no concept of reality
because right.
their parents are so rich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one of I'm friends with a kid where his dad has like 3 or 4 Ferraris and like his parents went out of town for 2 weeks one time and left him $12,000 cash. And he
just
bought
in
like,
case.
Yeah, just in case. And he bought like a big, one of those like Polaris vehicles. And they came back and they're like, "Oh, this is great. What a cool thing you bought."
Really?
And it's like,
just
what?
Like
yeah.
12,000 spending money?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, you make trash cans you could buy with
dude.
That?
Dude, his dad is a surgeon, but he has like a business partner and they buy surgery centers all over the world
uh-huh.
and then like flip them. And make
yeah.
crazy.
Really?
Yeah. It's like,
wow.
Yeah.
Flip this hospital?
Yeah, exactly. But then there's also like people who are just, their parents are in, there's a lot of, it's basically just oil and agriculture. So there's like people that I know that own like a company called Four Star Fruit,
uh-huh.
which is huge. And it's like people are just crazy rich.
Wow.
Like families with like Bugattis and shit.
That's not what I think when I think of
no,
Vegas
I know.
Though.
There's
That's
like,
crazy.
There's a big, like, It's a whole scale of everything. Like, it's really has everything because it has like people who are legitimate, yeah. like not billionaires, but like oil barons where they have had oil in their family forever.
But if it's super nice and it's like rich and stuff, didn't you say that they just took a vote recently to let the teachers carry guns?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the fifth most conservative city in America.
Oh, so it's not like as to protect themselves. It's all right.
No, yeah.
Oh,
completely.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It's the drunkest city in America.
Uh-huh.
It's like fifth most conservative city in America.
Okay, so they're like
22, like 20th most drug addicted city in America. Like
no
all
shit.
The yeah, it's and that's where I started comedy. Dude, but the teachers can carry guns now.
That's crazy to me.
It's oh yeah, and everybody's like totally on board with it.
They're
like,
they're cool.
People
with
are
it.
Stoked about it. Like one of the funniest things you could ever do is like these news pages in Bakersfield. Like it's like KGET is one of them.
Uh-huh.
It's like the most popular one, which I'm actually banned from appearing on. But that's a completely different story. But they'll share all these articles and the comments they get on there. It's just insanity.
Oh, from the locals.
Yeah, it's some of the craziest shit I've ever
yeah.
seen in my
life. Oh, I'm sure.
Like they put out a poll on the news and it was like whenever Donald Trump first talked about Muslims not being able to come into the country and it's
uh-huh.
like, "Do you agree with this?" And it was like 89% yes.
Sure, yeah.
Out
hell
of like
yes.
60,000 people vote. It's just insane, dude.
Yeah.
And people are stoked about like even like substitute teachers can have guns too. And like
even subs?
Yeah, my friends are substitute teachers and they're crazy. I just did acid this weekend in the mountains with like three substitute teachers, which is like they
gun
should
be substitute.
Yeah, and now if they want, they can just. It's gonna be like inside job school shootings, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But
right, you're just bringing more guns into those schools.
Yeah, no, totally.
And dude, I know a lot of subs. They should not be carrying guns in school.
That's what, and it's the same, dude. I don't understand when people start trusting teachers. And like,
right,
people. I thought teachers were not to be trusted anymore.
Right.
Like in the same school district, like there's been like 4 teachers banging kids in the last
right.
3 years. And one dude was cooking meth in the air conditioning unit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not just smoking it. Not even
just
not,
cooking it.
Yeah. He wasn't selling it. He was just getting high.
That's why they want to be armed. They got to protect their drugs.
Dude,
yeah.
Yeah.
Their stash.
It's fucking crazy.
Wow.
Man. And people are like happy with it.
Oh,
and,
I'm sure. I'm sure they love it.
And there's fucking there's some teachers who are psychos.
Yeah, a lot.
That, yeah.
They're just regular people.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that like, people don't get.
They're not like elevated above.
No.
Like
I think the days of like a Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World type character. I think that's like Mr. Right. Feeny with a gun. That's cool. But like
right.
the teacher, there's no more like inspiring teachers. I feel like there's no more
there's
like
a Stand By Me yeah. teacher.
No, exactly. Yeah. There's no, well, especially at like the high school that I went to, it's, that's what I noticed too, is that whenever I moved from a poor school to like a richer elementary school, that it's, there's so much less funding at the rich kids school. Like uh-huh. at the old school, we would go on like crazy field trips like three times a year.
Right, yeah.
The food we ate there was insane, like homemade stuff basically.
Wrote people then, spend more money.
Yeah. And then whenever we went over to the like more like government funding, I guess, because yeah. the rich kids school that I went over to, it's like these prepackaged lunches and like,
oh really,
dog shit food. It's yeah, yeah. no field trips, nothing. It was all just.
But how many kids at those rich kids schools are getting their lunch at school?
No, exactly.
You know what I mean? They're bringing like sushi from home. No, it's, yeah. that they're yeah. made exactly. cooked for them. Ooh. You know,
yeah. Yeah,
and totally. If they want to go on a field trip, they don't need it funded. Their parents yeah, exactly. will just buy them.
Give them $12,000 when yeah, they go yeah. to town. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know. Could you imagine being like a bad kid in school and then like your teacher just kind of flashes you? No, the pistol?
That's what I said too, is that there's like teachers. Don't you remember whenever there's like a sub or even normal teacher just couldn't control the class?
Ran wild.
Yeah, yeah, it's like in like running wild. Now the teacher's going to fucking put yeah. one in the put one in the ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah, but just like lay it down on
yeah.
the desk.
No, like, that's what like was. Like whenever the teacher usually be like 1, 2, 3 or whatever, they're just going to put their hand on the desk or like on the drawer and like slowly open the drawer.
Don't make me count to
yeah.
three.
Dude,
that's crazy.
But then there's also like a teacher I had, Mr. Frost. He's a woodshop teacher who's just a fucking psychotic Vietnam vet.
Sure.
And it's like he doesn't right. need a gun. He's a crazy person.
Yeah, we don't want the guy that works around saws. Yeah, he would
always fucking do this shit where he would like because he would always try to be like prolific and like give these crazy speeches. And he would always be talking about Vietnam. And this kid one time, he said, this kid's like out of line, was like, Mr. Frost, did you ever kill people in Vietnam? And he just, without missing a beat and like continuing the lesson, goes lots and lots, and then just continues into the woodshop lesson about how you should use this saw.
Wow.
He's
yeah.
a fucking psycho. And yeah. he would,
that's dude, the guy you don't want to give a gun to.
No, exactly. He would like tell these crazy stories about being in the Navy and like on a submarine for like 6 months. He's a crazy
sure.
person. And he would tell, he would try to be one of those prolific teachers where he's talking about like how weed is – people think weed is harmless. And he's like, well, me – when I tell this story all the time. He's like, when I was in the Navy, me and a couple of my buddies over in Jamaica, my buddies thought it'd be fun to go get some weed. So we go over, see a couple guys on the corner. One of my friends says, hey, you guys got any weed? Rasta turns around, blows his damn head off.
Oh, my God.
I know, and he's, like, screaming this into the front row. He's like, you guys still think weed is harmless? And, like, screaming this into the front row.
Dude, that's so funny that you brought that up. I had a Russian substitute teacher when I was in high school that every time that he subbed for us, swore up and down that he invented night vision goggles and the government stole it from him. And we're like, oh, yeah, God. This
we'd that's, see him, a, that's a crazy person.
We'd see him that walk in and be like, oh, here we go with the night goggles again every time. All right, open your books. I invented night goggles. Okay, we know. We
Dude,
know.
I had the same substitute teacher in high school who a girl came in on Valentine's Day with like balloons and chocolates and a bear, and he made her take all of the stuff to the office because he then went on a rant about how Valentine's Day is a made-up commercial holiday that was made up by the De Beers Diamond Company. He just goes on this huge
oh, wow.
rant.
Oh my gosh,
and he
that's
also
specific.
In that same
yeah, yeah
no, he's a psycho. It's like an old psycho dude. And he, in that same class period, he told that joke of how Chinese people name their kids and that you just drop the silverware down the driveway. And it's like,
whoa.
This is all in the same thing. And no, yeah. and he's wow. he's definitely still doing it. And
right. He's probably principal
yeah.
now.
Yeah. He really got
mayor yeah. of Bakersfield.
Upper management material.
Yeah. He owns Bakersfield now. That's crazy, man. So you're doing comedy now. I always ask people like, hey, send me a couple of ideas of like bad shows that you've done or this and that. Dude, you sent me one. You said a lady.
Oh, yeah. A transient woman cut her wrist with a box cutter during a show I was doing.
During your set?
Yeah, but it was a set I was doing at a music open mic.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
dude, this bombing, and then there's like
No. Well, it was the type of thing where she can't, because I haven't done it in a while, but it's like a whole like 8 minute story I've done on stage. And it's like I'm just on stage, and I was doing like probably like 20 minutes, and so she comes in first, and it's pretty empty, and the bartender sees her, and he's like, hey, you can't be in here. There's a comedy show going on right now.
Right.
And so she's like, oh, okay, cool. And it's like, I was like, that's fucking weird. She's probably a crazy person.
Right.
He's fine with that.
She just got done picking up the trash at the stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
Came in for a drink.
And then he, she goes outside. All of a sudden, there's just like a loud banging, and it's like how this door, there's a door just to the left of the stage. It's an emergency exit with a clear glass, and there's just like this banging on the door. So I like look around to see what's going on. And I see her, and she's just staring at me, but banging her head on the glass door over and over, just staring at me. And I was like, this is insane. And I asked the bartender, I was like, dude, can you help me out here? And then he goes over there, and he's like, yo, there's a comedy show going. Like, you can't do that right now. And then she's like totally – every time he like tells her to go away, she's totally cool with going away.
Right.
And then like 15 minutes later, right before I'm about to get off, there's – it show's basically over, and then like a big party had come in, so the bartender's at the bar doing stuff, and I see her come back in, and I didn't say anything because I was about to get off, but I was going to be like, there's fucking comedy going on, you can't be in here right now. And then she like comes from like 10 feet in front of the stage and just like looks around and then looks up at me and then pulls out a box cutter and starts fucking slashing
my face.
I know.
What the hell?
I know.
Why is it your fault?
I know. No. Exactly. That's exactly what I said. And then
that's art.
And two, it's Bakersfield has – this is right after The Guardian put out an article where it said Bakersfield has the deadliest police force in the nation.
Uh-huh.
Like they kill more people per capita than anywhere else.
Right.
And so like the bartender came and like put her out of the bar and then like locked the door. And I was like, I'm calling the fucking cops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like as I'm calling the cops though, I'm like, oh, fuck, they're going to come fucking kill this person.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I just thought they were going to call and they were going to be like, oh, so she has a weapon. And there's like a bunch of cops in the background. I'm like, yes, yes. I'm like, no, it's not. She's like, yeah, well, too late. And like hangs the phone up.
The
really
teachers
quick.
Pick it up on the scanner too. Yeah. So they show up.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a vigilante justice.
Dude. Oh my god, that's insane!
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine if I'm on stage with some chick.
No, exactly. Yeah, it was. It's so funny because the night before I was down here and I did a set on Kill Tony at the Comedy Store, and Sarah Silverman was on it, and she's like, "You're so good, like you have unlimited potential." And then the next night, it's fucking in Bakersfield, this chick slashing her wrist to my comedy. I'm like,
so much eye contact. Yeah. Like, why is she staring?
Eye
every
contact.
Time she hurts.
The
herself.
Eye contact was the worst part because then I grabbed the stool and I was like a lion tamer, basically. I'm
right.
Like, I like thought I was gonna have to hit this chick with this. I was, I was ready to hit her with the stool. Like,
right.
I would have no problem hit her with the stool if she came at me.
If the box cutter didn't do enough damage,
yeah, her X-Acto knife. Dude, it was no good.
Was that one of the – you did warm up for a politician too though, right?
Dude, yeah. Well,
why?
There's just so,
first of all, why?
There's just so much – Central Valley.
Yeah.
Bakersfield, Delano, Tulare, Visalia. Like there's just these – It's all just like these farming communities, and it's some of the worst shows ever. But like, so I've done so many great shows out there with some of the worst shit ever. But there was one where it was a politician. I can't think of his fucking. Why I can't think of his name right now.
That's probably best.
Totally want to name drop him. He isn't a politician anymore. He was a politician that was like super anti-LGBT, and then it came out that he was like blowing male prostitutes and
isn't that always the case?
I can't remember his fucking name
is.
Right now. I totally want to name drop him.
Because nobody cares that much unless you've got a reason to care that much.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And,
so he's an older guy, and then so they called they hit me up on this page that I run, it's Oil City Comedy, which is like all the comedy stuff in Bakersfield.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, hey, we're looking up some people to do warm up for they were filming a documentary about him like being anti-LGBT and then like coming around to being like openly gay. And then the last thing they were shooting is like a speech where he's going to be speaking in front of a bunch of people. So they wanted us to come in.
So he's still in politics?
No. He's still doing like speeches and stuff, but he's doing speeches on like, think like not hating gay
like
people.
Self-help.
And so now it's like a documentary they're trying to make for like Netflix or something.
Right.
And so they're trying to do this thing like where they're trying to do this speech at the end of the thing where he's like talking to all these people. And so they get – like when you do audience in LA, it's mostly like struggling actors and people. But whenever you put together an audience of people that are getting paid to be there in Bakersfield, it's – insane. Like it's people literally off the street. And so me and one of my friends get there And the first thing this producer tells us in the elevator, she's talking to me. She's like, I saw your comedy online. You made some gay jokes. I don't know if you know this, but I can't think. Fuck, what's his name, man? She's like, he is a homosexual, so please don't kind of refrain from any gay jokes. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So then we go into this room, and it's like the holding area for like all these people. And they're expecting like 300 people, and like 40 show up.
Right.
And so there's these people, and they're like, can you guys go out there and kind of just warm them up in the holding area to start out? And I was like, whatever. I was like, we're getting paid great money. So we're like, me and another guy go in there, and we start doing it, and we're like, what's up, guys? Like, we're talking to them, just messing around. We're like, do you guys have any questions for us? And then somebody raised their hand, and they're like, what's going on? Like, what are we here for? They have nobody there has any idea what they're doing. They just knew they were getting paid like $40.
Oh,
and
damn.
Nobody has any idea what they're doing. And we don't really know. So we're just kind of explaining what we know. And it just turns to nonsense. This is all at a Masonic temple also, this whole thing.
Oh, wow.
So then we go into this room that seats like 300 people, but there's only 40 people there. So they have to move everybody to the front and like angle the thing just right. Like, all of this, and they have to fix the camera. And so then I'm just about to go on, and the director of the whole thing comes up, and he's like, oh, are you guys the comedians? And we're like, yeah, man, totally. And he's like, oh, that's great, man. We're so happy to have you here. You know, just warm up the crowd, do what you do, like some Trump jokes, some gay jokes. And then I was about to be like, but the producer said, and my friend Chris Flay, who's a hilarious comedian, steps in front of me and he goes, yeah, man, we can do the gay jokes. Yeah. It was so funny, man.
Yeah.
But we just go out there and bomb. I'm just walking around this huge room with a wireless microphone.
Oh,
it was insane.
The politician walks up, makes eye contact with you, pulls out a box cutter. No.
I totally want to remember his name.
Whenever people are so staunch on like that,
anything.
Yeah. When they're like that passionate about something, like, okay, what are you?
Yeah.
Do you guys know? Do you guys heard about this was in October of last year, but the Ashley Madison leak, where like 400 email addresses got leaked, and it was almost 6,000 of them were like government employees and like people that were like married. Dude, and like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I would say they're all just like, I mean, in the public eye, like such elevated figures. Like, they all, I feel like you just can't handle that kind of pressure and you have to do something weird.
Like, eventually, like, self-destruct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I fucking wish I could remember that guy's name, because he was like, he's like the original, like, flipper. Right? Like, the guy who flipped from being, like, so anti-LGBT to, like, being caught in the act,
super
basically.
Like, what are you going to do? Yeah. Right. Like, after that, well, I'll just research it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he, like, realize he was wrong. And then
usually
it's like, no, like Ted Haggerty, they went and prayed the gay away in a cabin for
exactly.
2 weeks or something.
Yeah. But like, yeah, that sucks too, because like he's probably like thinking like he's doing the right thing. Like, I flipped, I'm going to check, and like 30 people show up to his documentary filming.
It was like people with like babies were there.
Oh,
it was insane.
Yeah.
It was a fucking crazy experience.
Oh, that's
crazy. But then like, there's just so many weird shows that I've done there. Like, a few weeks ago, we did a show there for a bunch of like wounded Marines.
Okay.
It was like their like Christmas party.
Okay.
And it was my cousin, it's for a nonprofit. It's like basically like a local version of the Wounded Warriors. And so my cousin's high up in it. And so he like got us out there to do it, and it ends up being at like this like Marine clubhouse, but there's like, there's like 60 people there.
Okay.
And as soon as I get on stage and grab the microphone, a dude, it's crazy because there's a dude with no legs,
right,
metal legs from the knee down, but he's walking around.
Sure.
He just sits up from the bar, and he has a beer in his hand, and he goes, who the fuck is this kid? And I was like, oh, and it was me, Brian Vokey, and Dan Nolan.
Oh,
I just see
no.
them across the room, and I'm like, well, guys, I'm bringing you up here in a minute.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah, and we were all supposed to do like 8 minutes, and I ended up doing like almost 15 of just nonsense, just trying to win.
Right. Yeah.
It was, but we partied. We ate a bunch of crab legs and
nice.
Got fucked up and got paid. Brian was wasted. He was, that song was on the Toby Keith one. He's like, we'll put a boot in your ass.
Yeah.
To that legless dude with the Marine with the no legs. He goes, if you wanted to put a boot in my ass, you'd have to use your hands. Fucking murdered.
I'm sure they loved
it. Yeah, it was great.
I'm sure he killed.
Yeah, it was so, because we're sitting there too, and there's all these dudes walking around, and he leans over to me and he's like, you can look at these guys' faces and see that some have killed more than others. So there's like these older, like Vietnam era dudes who are walking around just like stone faced.
You're on stage, Mr. Frost?
Yeah. Like, Paul just shows his gun on his hip.
Your Volky impression is spot on.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. Volky's been on the show. Dude, that's awesome, man. I guess we're out of time. Dude, that's so awesome. Thank you for coming on the show today, man.
Great, dude. This is awesome.
That's so interesting. I learned so much about Bakersfield today. I had no idea.
Yeah, man. I can be your guys' tour guide.
Can you?
Yeah, man.
Can you bring Ivan and I to open for you at another Wounded Warrior?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you want to. Yeah.
I like that how you guys had more at that show than the poor politician for his at the Netflix film.
Yeah.
Dude, how can people find you? In Bakersfield?
Yeah, basically. Just look. I'll be smoking meth on the side of the road with people I went to high school with. No, I'm Bruce Gray on Instagram, G-R-A-Y. Bruce G-R-A-E on Twitter.
Awesome.
Because there's a sculptor named Bruce Gray who's much more popular than me. I know.
Doing shit.
He's a sculptor, too. All
right, you guys follow Bruce. Bruce, very funny. If you guys see him, if you see him performing, go see him. Also, send us a picture of your dad. We'll like to throw it up on the website.
Oh, hell yeah. I definitely will do that. Yeah.
All right. Ivan, how can people find you?
At Ivan Ishkoff everywhere.
Christy?
At Rowan Moon Reiki.
I'm Justin Comic. For our show, go to iTunes, subscribe to Foster the Podcast on there. Give us a good review. Give us a good rating. Go to fosterthepodcast.com, and we'll see you guys next week.
Sweet.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.